And you are listening to 94.1 KPFA in Berkeley, 89.3 KPFB in Berkeley, 88.1 KFCF in Fresno, and online at kpfa.org. The time is 2 p.m. Stay tuned next for the Visionary Activist Show.
Welcome, allies, to the Visionary Activist Show, and I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey. So before I bring in our splendid guests, wonderful ally, Emma Kayla Gaston, in the KPFA studios, but first, a little weaving of context. So it is the dark of the moon. It is the dark of the moon. There'll be an eclipse on Saturday night at 11:41 p.m. West Coast time. Dark of moon was traditionally when the ancestors and all people of good heart would gather to determine the course of culture. And this dark of moon, new moon, will be in Virgo, which is the sign of ritual magic and the power of words. And then it's such a packed, you know, opportunity being proffered to us. Then we have Rosh Hashanah on the 14th, new beginnings. Then Jupiter, storytelling, opposite Neptune, dreams, spiraling powerful positive images into the collective on the 16th. Then Mercury, stations on the 17th at the, you know, rebuild the world degree. And that would be wonderful. And then there's the Symbiosis Festival, which is September 17th through 20th. I'm Michaela Gaston, is my co-MC, and our guest who is aspiring to show up for us. The Yes Men will also be part of that lineup. There's a particularly great lineup on Saturday, the 18th, which is the Yes Men, Amy Goodman, Saul Williams, and then me with Amakela, of course. And then Open Secret in San Rafael, September 22nd. I'll be presenting at 7 p.m. Reserving seats is a good idea. That is Venus emerging, bounding onto the world stage on her Liberating Change of Hearts tour. So today is Marie Laveau's birthday. She is the great voodoo queen of New Orleans. And just a little bit of introducing her. Michael Ventura has written about her a great deal. He says, the name of Marie Laveau is still invoked in songs sung and danced by many who know only her name, but she was a real and an important person who exerted a strong influence on her own time and on the future, for she led and consolidated the culture out of which, just as she was dying, the blues would proliferate and jazz would be born. And you can hear a Laveau-like spirit in America's music ever since. She was a mixture of African, Native American, European, you know, coming originally from Haiti. Haiti then, as now, was a fountain of the voodoo religion in the Americas. It was also the site of the first black independence movement, which began with a voodoo-led ceremony against the whites in white oppressors in 1891. Haiti's turmoil was still going on when Marie Laveau and her first husband immigrated to New Orleans in the early 1800s. She opened the Bayou St. John and Lake Pontchartrain ceremonies to whites and blacks and went so far as to invite the press at the Times. Many sayings were referring to her. There's a saying from Bessie Smith that says, there ain't no white people in New Orleans. Everybody's turned black since Marie Laveau got here. And also Bessie Smith added, New Orleans is a right fine place. Whatever the black folks do, the white folks do it too. How many other figures have we in our history with such a range, with such long-lasting authority, and whose power, political, social, and spiritual, had nothing to back up but their own intensity? Marie Laveau helped both to center and to anchor what might otherwise have been continually more scattered and dissipated practices and people. Well, what elsewhere in the South was a people who had to disguise its expression and conceal its spirit became in her reign a true culture, a culture that felt its identity deeply. Only out of such intensity, felt, cohesive culture, could a creation like jazz be born. And it was on June 23rd that King Oliver's Creole Jazz Band was recorded, the date of the biggest Lake Pontchartrain ceremonies. So I've been to her tomb in New Orleans many times. It is wildly active, and 12 years ago, one Jupiter story cycle on a sweltering New Orleans day, I queried her whether she was willing to be Coyote Network News Southern Bureau Chief. And really, right then, just like we always love, a cool breeze came from nowhere and swirled around me. And I go, I take that as a yes, Marie, joining High John the Conqueror, the trickster redeemer of the South who liberated everyone, even the tyrant, Scheherazade, the quintessential trickster storyteller. Through her eloquence and stories, she liberates not only women, not only the land, but even the tyrant who has hardened his heart. We have Coyote, Bureau Chief of the West, Raven, Bureau Chief of the North, all of whom are getting ready for mythological news scouting reports for the trickster redeemer within us all. And may her spirit inform all who are dedicated to liberating cultural hijinks, the likes of our guests today. So, liberating cultural hijinks, we welcome, we're waiting for trickster liberator Mike Bonanno of the Yes Men, thesmen.org. And in KPFA studios, I'm Michaela Gaston here to help us celebrate today's birthday of Marie Laveau.
Yay!
There you are.
Hi.
Yes, 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 darling. Yes, she catalyzed disparate people against all odds into a unified, ecstatic culture. Welcome, Michaela.
Ah, thank you so much.
Yes, we overcame all the little kerfuffles to skid in.
That's right. I mean, in perfect Laveau style.
It is. You know, bless her wonderful heart. So, Mike will join us from Yes Men Trickster headquarters whenever possible, but let's set forth. Do you feel to sing the ancestor song now to call it in?
That's exactly right. I would love to sing to bring Marie right here with us.
Yes.
And it's called Aumba. Aumba Waori. Aumba Waori. Awaosum. Awaoma. Leri Oma. Marie Laveau, Kawe.
Ooh, goosebumps, Ami. And I should say to our team that we've been collaborating for I don't even know how long, decades.
Yes, decades.
Decades. And I'm so looking forward to our co-emceeing, crafting
that
symbiosis. I think that will be great, you know, and the Yes Men will be joining us, and Amy Goodman and Saul Williams, and we're turning it into a school. Let me pitch this to you.
Do it.
In our bones and blood, we remember the death and resurrection show. We remember that as humans gathered for 30,000 years at this powerful time, the equinoctial time, it was to call in power. You know, come on in, oh literal and metaphoric sun, and then, you know, illumine this painting, this writing at the back of the cave. Come on in, power, and animate this desirable guiding story. So we want to do that. We want to do that now in our portable telepathic theater, and we want to do that at festivals, and we want to do that wherever we are. Come on in, power.
That's right.
So it is dark of the moon. It is an eclipse. It reminds us we're the only planet we know of where the sun and moon are the exact same size. Won't always be that way.
Mm.
But it provides us a cauldron, and I know you're bringing a cauldron to symbiosis.
Yes, I am.
That's right.
Filled with treats.
So we get to throw things into the cauldron now and through that weekend and during this hour as well. What do we want to have eclipsed by what? Mm. So just let's keep that kind of rolling as we go. And just for the fun of it, and I'll toss it to you, but I have the astrological charts, of course, of now in Berkeley and now in D.C.
Yay!
We weave them together. And overhead in D.C. right now is 19 Scorpio, which the men astrologers in the Middle Ages hated. They called it the accursed degree of the accursed sign because its image is women drawing back two dark red curtains leading to a sacred pathway. Woohoo! Woohoo! So that's what we're doing.
Fantastic.
So we love that. So, yeah, and you yourself, you said you have relations not unlike Marie Laveau, who came from Haiti.
Yes, and actually I had the most incredible time discovering how deep the connections go. I actually went to Cuba with the amazing Carolyn Brandy, who's my godmother and just an amazing human being. But we went to Cuba and we went to this Haitian voodoo ceremony where actually people there were named, they were honoring a high priest named Gaston. And they talked about how there were a lot of Gaston people in Jacmel, in Haiti, and how the majority of people that are there that are Gastons, their trade is singing and the arts. And I'm just dying to go. I really, really want to go and meet some of these people. But it was a really auspicious, very cool gathering right there.
Let's take this show on the road.
Let's go.
I've been to Cuba. What a splendid place. I have a great santero there. Wonderful, the best divination ever there that was so powerful because the orishas are real.
Yes,
there we
indeed.
Go. With wonderful Mike Bonanno of the Yes Men, who may or may not be able to use his calling card to find us, but nonetheless, part of what I love about them and us and the liberating art of cultural hijinks, you know, the power of satire and song as well. Mm-hmm. You know, the Celts said only satire and song could liberate us from the unruly tyrant. Mm-hmm. And the satirist, you know, not unlike Jonathan Swift, would present his artful critique to the power-abusing tyrant, and the tyrant would have to respond in kind, an artful kind, unlikely in this world, and whoever's story was truer, they would be fine, and the other team, the ground would open up and eat them. And we'd go, okay, there's an eclipse
there
image
go.
For you.
Absolutely.
There we go. But it is part of, you know, the circle of habit being struck by lightning. Here comes Oya, right? To turn it into a spiral. So as we gather on this radio show, as we gather at festivals, this is not Hinayana honky personal salvation, mere enjoyment. You know, we want this to be effective in the world. And I do love in talking with some of the Symbiosis and other festival organizers going, well, what about, you know, isn't this a training for a team to respond? It's Aaron Neville, when I was introducing him at the Gaia Festival, he looked around at the incredible civilization stage and booths and whatnot, and he goes, is this here all the time? And I said, no, man, they built this over the weekend. Mm. And he was like, wow, imagine if there was a team that would show up for Syrian refugees,
that
would show up after Katrina and go, here's belly dancers and tacos and warmth and composting toilets, and there you go.
That's right, healing body, mind, and soul all at the same time. Absolutely.
Right, and songs, and again, beauty poker, give us a song from your culture. Oh, that is beautiful. Here's a beautiful song from our culture. We replace war with beauty poker. Yes. I do want to do a shout out as we inform the memosphere that, you know, we've done so many shows on Syria. I had such a powerful, life-changing time there. Mm, our great friend Deborah Falmouth. And to speak to the beauty and exquisiteness of Syrian people and Syrian culture. It is an honor to receive them. You know, again, you know, that we want to send out this healing, corrective memosphere. These are beautiful people. It's a beautiful culture, as they refer to themselves as deep-souled people. And we go, And I love also the Yes Men, you know, who are, you can find them on Facebook, the Yes Men. They do so many great liberating hijinks to liberate people's goodness.
Yes.
And maybe we want to bring in Oya, because trickster runs on the fuel of discrepancy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, very often what is and what should be, or what is and what people are pretending it is, and right? And it's that energetic discrepancy that is like, that's the energy for change if we tap into it.
That's right.
So,
and we actually have a beautiful song for Oya by Iduanya, track number 4. And we can listen to that now if you'd like.
Let's do that. I would.
Oya kaka, oya chango kwerula ye, oya kaka. Oh,
Beautiful, Ami. So we should remind ourselves, I'm packing my horsetail whip to bring out to California for Symbiosis and also the Open Secret on the 22nd. Remember, Oya hurls her horsetail whip and summons the winds of change. She's really the quintessential woman trickster,
yes,
and is the presiding deity of the marketplace.
Right.
Let's bring that into play, that in almost all world mythology, it's the trickster, very often the feminine trickster, liberator, who presides over the marketplace, reminding us it's not meant to be some Waldemart. It's meant to be the Zocalo, where things syncretize and people from different cultures blend and come up with a guiding story, again, to compost tyranny. Yes. Very good.
Composting.
Yes, compost. Yeah, into the. Yes, everybody, join us. Feel free to go. Because remember, we also have our portable, harumphitude composter. Because it's always easier and better to communicate after we've composted our harumphitude. Because then we can stay. You know, part of the theme of now is to have a boundaried heart that then can bloom. And let me do a shout out to wonderful board op in DC, Meg, whose birthday was yesterday, which means all of these powerful patterns are in her solar return divination. Right now, Venus is stationing. I got to see her re-emerging from the Atlantic Ocean. Oh, as the morning star. She's stationing at 14 plus Leo, which is the Mardi Gras degree. And we go, oh, it's all lining up. And it's Venus, Moon, Mars, all lined up, going right. Mars is initiated by Venus into goodness, strong enough to be gentle. You know, and Mars and Venus are conjoined right now in Leo's showtime. At the image of carrier pigeon fulfills its mission. We all have our dree to weird, our role to play in destiny. And then I'll toss this to you, Ami, but, you know, all cultures, really, prior to our own mythologically illiterate one, would be waiting. You know, Venus was the evening star, very beautiful sky dance, spring and summer. Then she disappeared so close to the sun we couldn't see her, called Venus going to the underworld. Usually 40 days, but this time it was just 10 because she can't leave us unsupervised. And then she rises as the morning star. It's called the heliacal rise. And all cultures would look going, what sign of the zodiac will she be rising in? Because that's the next Venusian template. And it's Leo, Mardi Gras is what she's rising up in, going, yes! Again, in New Orleans, remember all the great musicians begin the parade by emerging from the funeral homes. New Orleans is so witty that way.
So
it's showtime. You know, it is death and resurrection showtime. So, you know, don't be despairing when we look at the bleakness of what, you know, passes for modern public discourse. We're electing a story.
Yes, so, and actually, speaking to add to the story, Erica's birthday, she just slipped me a note that her birthday is Saturday the 12th. She's our board op here.
Woo-hoo!
In Cali, so she's part of the Mardi Gras story. Yum yum.
We have two medicine women, ritual magic, great technician, you know, sacred board ops today. That's great. Yay, Erica and Meg. So very auspicious. Okay, so the witches are here. It possibly is why it's been
Cauldron
difficult for
cooking.
Mike to call in, because it's so far it's women. But we're opening the path for Mike in case he manages to call in. But if not, you know, psychically, because I love, if you go to the Yes Men Facebook page, and he is one of our great collaborators that we'll be introducing at Symbiosis. I got them to fire him. They have an action switchboard at the yeslab.org where you can suggest actions. Mm. You know, for those of you who don't know, I've been tracking the Yes Men for decades, since their first cultural liberating prank where they took Barbie and G.I. Joe dolls out of the store and switched the voice boxes and then put them back in. So G.I. Joe was saying, gee, math is hard. and there's never enough time for shopping. And Barbie was going, die, Cobra. And we go, yeah, that's gender liberation. That was a good one.
There you go.
And then the idea of cultural hijinks as liberating the good, again, for those of you who don't yet know the Yes Men, and part of our weaving them with Murray Laveau and part of them weaving with beautiful Amakayla Gaston and all. They often do pranks, really great pranks, that liberate goodness and that are culturally influential and liberating as satire is meant to be. They make mimicked websites so it looks like the World Trade Organization, convincing enough so that they have been often invited as representatives of the World Trade Organization to address different august bodies, one of which was the International Conference of Accountants in Sydney, Australia. And so they came out and they talked, you know, grown-up bureaucratic annoyance. You know, boy talk. And then they said, you know, we've been delving into our hearts. Venus is on the change of heart tour. And we've decided that, you know, the global economy is played out on greed. And we want to redesign it so the world is good for everyone. And we've come to ask your help. And all the accountants went, yay, we're played out on greed too, and we want to help.
Wow.
So it was revealed as a hoax, but it was a hoax that revealed people's intrinsic goodness.
Desire to bring change.
Yes.
Goodness, that's fantastic.
Awaiting invitation. Now, Venus is beauty and art an invitation. All art is an invitation to the larger deal. And again, let me toss it to you, Amiga, because the idea of art, and you've been doing much global travel, and art, as you know, the Venusian foreign policy is really what we want now.
Absolutely. Yeah. And actually, my travels to Syria. Really,
oh
yes.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
Oh,
several years ago, I went with something called the Iraqi Voices Amplification Project, and we went to Lebanon, Jordan, and Syria, and we worked with Iraqi refugees that had been displaced, and to bring their stories back to the American folk in a form of art, so that they weren't, you know, here everyone's like, oh, another refugee, another story, oh, somebody else that needs our help. But if you present their stories in this artful form, people were reinvigorated in their heart place. But first we had to glean the stories from them, and so we would sit with these refugees for literally from 12 hours at a time. And at first they were, you know, really, you know, in the story of, oh, the horrible things that are happening. And then I would share a song with them, like the one that I sang earlier. And then they would share a song. And then we would start doing the beauty song swap, or what did you call it, beauty poker?
Beauty poker.
Beauty poker with songs. And then dancing. And then tea came out. And then dates came out. And then suddenly this experience that was so hard and troubling became this sharing of stories and magic, and this is my tradition, and try this date, and oh, you've got to come back for this and another thing, and we became family, and it was this beautiful, mind-expanding, heart-expanding way to get these things that were hard to talk about from people through art. And that's always the way.
That is always the way. When we were in Syria and went to the Palestinian refugee camps outside Damascus, this wonderful 96-year-old woman who was so fabulous, but she remembered with great grief, you know, that day in 1948 where soldiers showed up at her house, and Israeli soldiers showed up at her house and said, you have to leave your house of three generations. You have to leave all your food in your pantry. And she says, I still remember what was in the pantry. I still remember my sewing machine. I still mourn for it. However, she said, you know, we don't want, you know, Western activists coming and, you know, deriving status from our grief. We want music and puppet shows and dancing and beauty. And then she got up and sang the call to prayer.
Yeah,
it was all so beautiful. And we go, right. You know, it is it is art which alleviates and heals the grievous sociopathic nature of uninitiated Mars.
That's
by
right.
Which the world is being torn apart. So it is art. And see, part of, again, where I want to toss it to you, because we're such great teammates, you know, Venus emerging now says, move over with Mars. Venus and Mars got married in the underworld, and they rose together. And we go, right, let us have art and beauty and kinship and beauty poker reassume cultural leadership.
Yes.
That's, you know, no matter what, you know, again, the word inaugurate comes from the augur, you know, who was the diviner. Augur means diviner within each one of us, and the augur, all of us, would walk out into nature and read nature's patterns, by whom nature would delineate the responsible human, and then they would be inaugurated. So we want to inaugurate a story, you know, and we want to, you know, again, etymology, Virgo's so good at words and words, and it's like if we go backwards in etymology, it brings us to this living realm, like always grateful for someone pointing out that the word respect means to look at again.
Yes, and can you tell again, sagacuate, I love
the Oh, well, sagacuate is, yeah, right. Yes, let's bring in, that's right, because you have a great song, I don't know if you can sing it too, the Br'er Rabbit song. Well, Br'er Rabbit, you know, again, syncretism. Br'er Rabbit, you know, these were stories from Africa syncretized by those imprisoned, you know, but then weirdly brought published by a kind of white racist guy who had a change of heart as he gathered them. Again, the oppressor seeks the medicine of what he oppresses. You know, so often Bishop Landa burning all the Mayan books and then, you know, and then right in the nick of time was like, maybe this is a mistake. And so he plucks them out and he's the only reason we have any existing, going, the tyrant's heart, may it be melted by beauty. So Br'er Rabbit begins by saying, there was times when all the critters used to gather to sagacuate, just like there ain't been no hard times, like there ain't been no falling out, like they all remembered they were kin. And sagacuate, of course, is a made-up word, but you know exactly what it means, to gather with wisdom and stories.
Yes.
So we are sagacuating.
And actually, on that note, I have this great song that I would love to share. It actually is from my childhood. It's from someone called the Mighty Sparrow. And it was from my first trip to Trinidad, and it's called The Witch Doctor, and it talks about all the things that he conjures from nature to make this powerful spell. Shall we play that for you?
I think so.
Track number 2, Witch Doctor by the Mighty Sparrow.
Oh, that's so great. I want that to get me up every morning. That's fabulous.
Isn't it crazy? And I have to just say, you know, I haven't heard the words in a long, long time, but I looked it up, especially for this show, because when I was a child and my trip to Trinidad and everything was just so overwhelming with the music and being around so many people of color all at once. You know, in D.C., it's kind of like you have to go to certain areas to be around a whole bunch of black people. But to have all these people, like, in costumes, because it was right around Carnival, and singing these songs and having this man talk about conjuring, you know, like, outside of the, you know, woman will be mine or whatever he said, but really thinking about, like, all the ways that we call on nature and things, you know, at our fingertips to kind of cook up a spell or cook up a recipe to bring that energy to us, I thought was just thrilling. And I would play that song over and over and over and
over.
Oh,
I love that. No, you must send it to me immediately.
Will do.
And we're having such a rock and smoking time that we're going to blow past our break music moment and play our fantastic song a little bit later because somebody actually at the station said, why do you take a break? I'm like, I was told to 19 years ago. I don't know. So I guess it doesn't matter too much. But I also, you know, I did see Dr. John, the Night Tripper, at the Newport Jazz Festival, and he's so smoking. And I was just talking yesterday with great ally, New Orleans ally, Martha Ward, the author of the only really great book, trustworthy book, on Marie Laveau called Voodoo Queen, The Spirited Lives of Marie Laveau. It's got a great cover. I have it right here. And she sends her regards. She's busy. You know, she and her fabulous partner Frank, they rode through Katrina together, hugging each other. Their house was destroyed. They're rebuilding it now. They're moving all their grandkids in. It's just wonderful. And so she couldn't join us today, but she does send Woofy blessings, and she's the keeper of and she said Dr. John is just such a fabulous living treasure. New Orleans really is, you know, the physical site of the soul of this country. Before we do a great Marie Laveau song, I always quote you, Ami, because I remember when we were walking down the street in Adams Morgan, which still is mixed, even though it's gotten gentrified, every homeless person we came to, you said, "Hello, King." And all of them, each one, said, "Hello, Queen." And I said, "Ami, do you know these people?" And she's like, you were like, "No." But it's so important. Whatever we speak to in another,
that's right,
is the frame story
that's
in which
right.
they'll respond.
Gosh,
"Hello, King."
Yes.
"Hello, Queen."
That's
yes.
Right.
Ah, fabulous.
Yes.
Ah. So should we have a little bit of the Marie Laveau song, which is just adorable and
yes,
charming?
Yes, please. Okay. Track number one by Papa.
So oh, okay. You want to play it? We have it both places, but whichever way you want to go.
Oh, I gave it to her on the CD, so whatever.
Okay. All right.
Yay.
Okay. Do it from out there.
Right on.
And then you decide when. Okay, here we go.
Standing there, I know, free in the dark. Oh, Marie Laveau. speech. Tears start rolling down her cheeks. She says, "Hush, my darling. Don't you cry. I'll make him come back by and by. Now sprinkle the snake dust all over your floor. He'll come back Friday morning when the rooster crows."
That's great. This is Caroline Casey, Visionary Activist Show. Our guest today is Amakayla Gaston, and somewhere out there in the memosphere is Mike Bonanno of the Yes Men. But we have such powerful women here, perhaps he's just telepathically cahooting. We are here celebrating Marie Laveau's birthday. She was born, I have her chart right here,
yes,
September 10th, 1801. I have two birth times. They both work, 2:01 p.m. in New Orleans, Louisiana. Well, actually, New Orleans, Louisiana, not Haiti. But anyway, different stories. But she was very engaged in the art of directing cultural attention and reminding people of the unifying song of what's great. And I love, you know, we've cahooted too about going, Ollie Ollie Income Free, you know, time for the beautiful part of all powerful women and men, you know, to come back now, Ollie Ollie Income Free. And I guess at Symbiosis, you're going to sing, "We are the witches, we are the tricksters, and
yes,
we've returned," yeah?
Yes.
It's always so rousing. And maybe, I haven't asked you this, but maybe you can cahoot with me on September 22nd. But we'll talk about that backstage.
Very
all right,
good.
There we go. Okay. But I do want to bring in also Terry Pratchett, who died in March. His latest book, his latest and last book, The Shepherd's Crown, is out. And it's so wonderful. It is so nutrient-rich. It is so beautiful. His main character is this beautiful young girl witch, Tiffany Aiken, who reminds us that to be a witch means what Marie Laveau did. It means to heal, to take care of people. Mm-hmm. It's not witch kitsch, glamour, and a million rings and gugas, mm-hmm, you know, and which Terry Pratchett is very witty. And she's working with the wee free men, the little people, who always shout, "Nay king, nay queen, we will not be fooled again." No external leaders, we go. And Tiffany, who does great good and transforms evil in this book also by opening its heart. There we go. There we go. That's the way to go. It's so powerfully nutrient rich. I'm so grateful to Terry Pratchett and many great things that we get to weave, at Symbiosis and take the show on the road as co-MCs, you know, just pulling things, having cauldrons and composting things and introducing the Yes Men and
so
Amy Goodman
exciting.
And Saul Williams and Rob Bresnahan and I don't know, a bunch of people. But it is a party with a purpose, the idea of the art of directing cultural attention. And Reverend Billy in the Church of Stop Shopping will be there too. So we're hoping to put people together so that we can really be gifted at directing cultural attention in a way that is liberating to all
yes,
people. Again, let me pitch this to you, Ami, that, you know, right now, you know, we need many kinds of newses. We need, you know, the mythological news of Coyote Network News. We need the Jungian news. You know, phallic narcissism rose 20% today as the Republicans did this or that. But also, you know, phallic narcissism went down as an against all odds, you know, peace accord or accord with Iran is
yes,
appearing to triumph against all odds. And I want to throw to you the power of syncretism, because Marie Laveau, you know, was a Creole Haitian black woman who was also a widow in New Orleans and therefore of high independent status.
Mm-hmm.
The love of her life was a high-born white man, and because of that, they could not own property together, so he legally became black out of his love for her that they could establish, to be pragmatic mystics.
As a social construct, yay!
Yeah, no, that's right. You just go backstage with a little squib of the pen. There we go. Okay, done.
And done.
So there's all of all of that, and again, the art of directing cultural attention, and wherever you want to go.
Having like a sassy, juicy, zesty, feisty, powerful, notable woman of color, like holding these massive ceremonies at Lake Pontchartrain and right on that water. I mean, look at where she lived, right there. It's such a powerful visual metaphor, as well as just something to strive for, something to really bring everybody back into the space of, you know, even in that time frame when it was not, it did not behoove you to do that kind of a thing, but she did it anyway, and she kind of weaved the spell over people to get them to get that this is a really good thing to practice and try and exchange with, you know, the good God, you know, the Bonnier, the one that is going to allow that kind of exploration of all of these erasures of divisions is incredible.
She was cool with the Catholic Church,
yeah,
because of her Creole knowledge, she went in to help people, as all powerful Virgo women do, and she could heal them of yellow fever. And so there was the renegade bishop of the big cathedral in New Orleans was her friend, and so she did her voodoo snake dances in the cathedral, right? So cross all borders,
wow.
Cross all borders.
Yes,
she
exactly.
Has, at Congo Park, it's the first time integration. She was a hairdresser, right,
yes.
as part of her deal. So she had everybody's secrets, but also, you know, a network of whatever. But also, as you know, remember that our word cosmetic comes from cosmos.
Amazing.
Right, exactly. The Greeks said we want to be as cute as possible. What's the most beautiful thing we know? The cosmos. So we will make cosmetics so we're more like the cosmos. So all of it, yes, hairdressing is part of her Venusian dynamic.
Mm.
And then, of course, she could then invite everyone. We're all going black and white. Never mind that. We're deeply souled when we're all drumming, when we're all singing together.
And by the water. That's right.
And by the water, we dissolve those false divisions. You know, we are not lured into polarity and therefore inadvertent servitude to the overlords.
That's right.
There we go.
Yes.
We have a larger unifying theme. There we go.
Sounds good. Sounds good.
And then let's bring in syncretism. You know, Michael Ventura wrote just a fantastic article. You can find it online, called Hear That Long Snake Moan, The Voodoo Roots of Jazz and Rock and Roll. It's just a splendid piece. Thank you, Michael, forever. You know, in that, you know, he writes about Marie Laveau and says, Marie Laveau did not create cultural movements, but a woman of her substance understood what was at stake. She saw a role to be played and played it to the hilt, helping to coalesce a scattered and oppressed diverse peoples into a moment of cultural ecstasy.
Yes.
We go, yeah. So for us, we don't have to create cultural movements. You know, democratic kinship and cooperating with the genius of the earth is sweeping the world. We have to put up our sails to cooperate. Operate with it. There we go.
Yes.
But a person of each one listening substance understood what was at stake. See a role to be played, you know, by listening to this show, by inward dedication.
And
unfurls.
Embracing all of our multifacetedness, like just be all of your parts.
I love what you're doing.
Yeah.
I love what you're doing at Symbiosis, because people were like, oh, let's complain about, excuse me, I perhaps will get into trouble for that. Let's complain about cultural appropriation. We go, well, we've had that conversation, and it leads to polarity. And you said, no, you're leading a panel on cultural exaltation.
That's right.
Oh, I love that.
Yes.
Trickster, you. So do you want to just you'll be running a council on that at Symbiosis?
Yes, and allowing a full conversation for everyone to join in, and let's all embrace all of our parts and share what all of our parts mean. I mean, I've done a lot of cultural work for many, many years, and one of the most poignant stories, believe it or not, came from a second grader who was this beautiful blonde-haired, blue-eyed boy who burst into tears and said, "I'm just white," when everyone was talking about all the different places and people and cultures they came from. He was very, very upset. And so I challenged him to go home and ask his parents, like, where his grandparents came from. And the next day he came back and he was like, "I'm Scandinavian." He was very, very happy to have something of cultural substance to share. And I think that everybody has that place that they want to be part of this larger flavor story. And, you know, we just need to, everybody get with that. Let's all get with that.
No, and brewing it, you know, it's like there's a fantastic historic novel called Forever by Pete Hamill. It's just brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. And it starts off in 18th century Ireland, and the papa takes his son to a kind of magic in the forest thing, and his son says, Dad, are we Catholic? No, son. Are we Protestant? No, son. What are we? We're Irish, lad. We're Irish. And then, you know, I think I've told you this a bazillion times, but I love it. Loving the Caribbean so much. And I always thought, you know, that accent, that lilt, and I go, I could listen to this forever. And it reminds me of Irish. You know, what? I wonder what the connection is. And then in The Voodoo Roots of Jazz and Rock and Roll by Michael Ventura, you know, decades later, I read Oliver Cromwell's brother, in charge of Ireland, sold thousands of pagan Irish women and babies into slavery into the Caribbean, where they bring the maypole, which becomes a kind of part of, syncretizes into voodoo. And when I said this to kind of Jamaican friends, they're like, yeah, man, we know that. There's a lot of O'Toole's here. We know. So yes. The Irish, the idea of syncretism under pressure, under oppression, you turn to the spirit mojo and you blend it. And part of the beauty of Santeria, you know, is that, you know, all these diverse, you know, people of cultivation from different tribes, they're syncretizing. And then here comes Christianity, and their attitude, right, is sure, you know, another sacrificial god, welcome aboard. And so behind the Christian saints are stashed the African deities, you know, right, behind Santa Barbara's Chango.
That's right. That's, gotta love spiritual gumbo. Yum, yum, yum. That's right.
Right, exactly. We're stirring in the eclipse cauldron, you know, two drops of this, five drops of that, you know, a kind of keeping uniqueness but also blending it together, you know, the Irish and the Caribbean and the Syrian and the whatever and the, you know, and all we're in a world of refugees. I mean, animals and plants and people, you know, all the tents were used up, you know, decades ago. I mean, really, you know, and we as a species have set this in motion. So what good can come from this, even the tragic diaspora after Katrina? Well, the little seeds, diaspora means seeds everywhere, the little seeds of New Orleans beauty everywhere, you know, with the devastation of the beautiful antiquities in Palmyra, we go, well, may they're dedicated to tolerance for 2,000 years by their destruction. May that spirit be liberated and waft through the world. And may the Syrian refugees be welcomed as carriers of a deep and vast culture that we would do well. It would behoove us well to embrace.
Absolutely behoove us well.
It would behoove us well.
It would behoove us well. Oh, yes.
We love behooving.
Sweet behoovery.
So, where shall we go now?
I think that I would love for us, as we're talking about Katrina and this being the 15-year remembrance of it, I want to tell a story about how I was on the phone with a friend of mine who was actually several friends of mine who were there when it was happening, and they were sending me pictures as the water was rising in their house. And just, not just to share the story of that visual, but thinking about how people who firmly want to stay in home, they want to plant their roots, and so that's why they didn't leave, and so they were part of the actual happenings of Katrina. And I remember when we lost contact with them and how horrifyingly frightening it was to just know that they were there and we had no idea what was happening, whether they lived or died, where they were. And gratefully, they are still alive, and they wrote a song called, it's an Orisha song. They're called Zion Trinity, and I want to share that song right now. And it's in honor of Ogun, and it's Ogun is the, you know, the Orisha of the forest, and he helps kind of, and of iron, he cuts down, he clears paths by using his great machete, and it's called Mariwo Yeye, track number 5.
Mariwo Yeye, Mariwo Ogu Mariwo, 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 Mariwo Yeye, Mariwo. Amala Ogu Narere, Amala Ea, Amala Ogu Narere, Amala Ea, Amala Ogu Narere, Amala Ea, Amala Ogu Narere. Amala Ea, Amala Ogunarere, Amala.
ogun alado orisha keye keye modase 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 ogun alado orisha.
And that's from their Spirit of the Orishas album. And, you know, the reason that I think I really wanted to share that is because they would stand in Congo Square and sing these songs to the Orishas and bring people there to them and call them. And so they're very much so in that spirit, in that vein that Maria Laveau did. Same thing, calling everyone to the spirit of the drum, to the spirit of the Orisha, to the spirit of voodoo, to the spirit of great spirit, and have people shed their preconceived notions about their physical connections or disconnections to one another and step into that spiritual plane and really reconnect with one another.
So Ogun is clearing the path before each one of us. Right. And again, just when this quote in Vudun, as in Africa, the drum is holy. And it was from this article, Voodoo Roots of Jazz and Rock and Roll, hear that long snake moan, that I learned the derivation of the word cool, which I've carried with me forever.
Yes.
Right. So cool is a Yoruba word and popularized by jazz musicians in the 40s, and it meant completely responsible. The cool man or woman took care of the community. The cool drummer, it was just the drummer, the drum, and the divine. No overplaying, no seeking status, no hunger, just dedication. And kulukulu, the Yoruba word, I don't know how to spell it. It was told to me by a Yoruba person. It means cool, like temperature, just as it does in English. So the Yoruba said to be effective, to allow your brain to have superconductivity of things going through it. Imagine, we can all do this together, imagine head as cool, all the heat in the head moving to the heart, which is where it belongs. So then we are agents of cool response and warm heart in an increasingly hot, reactive world. And that's what cool really means. Right? So we want to restore it to its original thing. That's not a status. It's not a hip. It's not a thing. It's a deep dedication. So I do love that.
Yeah, and they actually talk about that in more about the Yoruba tradition, where they say that to have iwapele, which means good character, you have to have a cool head. And so the goal constantly is to get to that place of coolness. To have good character means to be cool.
And then also to bring in the trickster. I remember great, great buddy, ally, wonderful Native American leader, Vine Deloria. And the last time I saw him before he died, he was at the Library of Congress, and great allies, Bob Goff, and all these Native American leaders were there. And Bob said, this is the only way all these leaders could be in this room without duking it out is because Vine is here. And Vine said, because he was a spicy Aries and deep and compassionate and playful, but he said, you know, I meet many young leaders today who are very, very serious about themselves. And he said, we were dedicated to the issues, but we were always playful among ourselves, because that's how you get stuff done. And I just want to, we'll be spiraling that out at the stage of symbiosis going, right, everybody get over yourself. Yeah.
Go hula hoop.
Right, dedicated to the issues and to being agents of goodness, but not self-important. You know, again, I think Marie Laveau was great that way. And just, you know, should you go to New Orleans, opposite Congo Square is still Priestess Miriam and her temple, because we like the marketplace and reciprocal blessings. So stop in to Priestess Miriam's, where you can get fantastic posters of Marie Laveau. But also, you know, it was one time when I was there, and I really do like her a lot, where she put her living boa constrictor snake around my shoulders and invited me to dance with it. And it's like, oh, I hope you don't mind, snake, you know, but you're very beautiful, and what an interesting life you've been assigned. I hope you don't mind. But there we go.
Let's get down.
Let's get down. You know, thank you. Thank you, Priestess Miriam. Thank you, Martha Ward. Thank you, Marie Laveau. All these great beings. Well, we're heading out in a moment. I want to remind people that, you know, Ami and I will be co-emceeing at the Symbiosis Festival, which is Symbiosis Gathering where are we? SymbiosisGathering.com, September 17th through the 20th. Yay. We're opening it up on Friday. Ami and I have the half-hour warm-up every day, and then the other things we'll fill with stuff, but we're introducing and segueing between all the guests, the likes of Amy Goodman, Democracy Now!, and then, of course, the Visionary Actors Show, which is Democracy Now! On Mushrooms. and other great luminaries, but we're weaving a context, you know, so that we gather our cool head and our warm heart throughout that dynamic, and then I'll be giving a talk, and then I mean, I will talk about this later, on September 22nd at 7 p.m. at Open Secret in San Rafael. It's probably packed. It's good to make, you know, reserve seats. That's Venus emerging and bounding onto the world stage on her Liberating Change of Hearts tour. Ah, thank you so much, Ami.
Yes, thank you,
yes,
Caroline.
I will be seeing you very, very soon. And thank
so
you.
Soon.
Thank you to our wonderful Virgo board ops. Again, magic people. Meg in Washington, D.C., happy birthday, happy birthday. And Erica Bridgman, happy birthday in a minute. How wonderful. I'm Caroline Casey, CoyoteNetworkNews.com, and we will reconvene next week. Thanks again, Ami.
Hey, KPFA listeners. New amendments to the Pacifica radio bylaws have been proposed and are available for review at the Pacifica Foundation website at www.pacifica.org, as well as the upcoming vote by the Pacifica board and delegates regarding these amendments to the Pacifica radio bylaws. That's all at pacifica.org.
This is a statement from a local station board candidate. The views expressed are not those of KPFA management or staff.
My name is Brian Okchunas, and I'm a candidate for the KPFA local station board. I'm an English teacher at Newark Memorial High School and a community activist. KPFA not only benefits me personally, but it also benefits my students as I pass on what I learn. I lived in the Bay Area for 10 years before learning that KPFA even existed. We need to explore ways to take the station to places where it's not just visible to the choir of local listeners. KPFA needs to have a stronger presence at local events and on the internet. As a listener and educator, I've made hundreds of teens aware of the power of KPFA and social issues it brings to light, all without the benefit of paid advertisements. As a board member, I hope to do the same for thousands. Remember